today is from Titus chapter 2, and it's starting from verse 11. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good.
Thanks, Jan.
Well, as Kyle said before, we are starting a new series in the lead up to Christmas here at Crossroads, Common Sense for the Silly Season. Our prayer for this series is really that it would be both an encouragement for us as a church of believers, but also an opportunity for people who wouldn't call themselves Christians or maybe investigating Jesus to really think about if Jesus has anything to say to them in the midst of this time of year. And I'm looking at the idea of time and our sort of the busyness of our lives around this Christmas season. And here is my premise. It's possible to use your time to be ready for Christmas, but not ready for Jesus. It's possible for you to use your time to be ready for Christmas, but not ready for Jesus. No matter what approach you take to Christmas, right? Maybe you are a sort of a Christmas snuck up on me type of person. You know, it's sort of like, because it's like, oh, it's 12, you know, you just have Christmas, like, Christmas 12 months away, and then it's 6 months away, then it's 3 months away, and then it's like 4 hours away. And maybe you can relate. So you might be one of those people if you're running around on Christmas Eve at 8 p.m. At Eastlands trying to find something, and sort of everyone's sort of nodding and laughing at just how late they've left it. You know, just going, oh, this thing is the only thing left on the shelf that will do for this present. Or you're doing the full sprint through Woolies, grabbing the ingredients for a recipe from memory because you've got to get them all before the register closes. And I've already said, you know, please take your shopping and head to the front of the store. The store will be closing in 2 minutes. You might know you're a sort of Christmas snuck up me type person, or you're just throwing up. You go, oh yeah, it's Christmas. We should have a tree. And so you go and you dust the one off out of the attic and you pop it up. You're express posting cards on Christmas Eve, thinking, I wonder if this will get there before the end of the year, and maybe that will be enough. You might be a Christmas snuck up me type person, or you might be a Christmas is a finely tuned machine type person. Presents have been bought and wrapped months ago. They're ready to go, labelled. Ready. Food for Christmas has been ordered online, scheduled. Not at just one supermarket, but two to make sure in case anything's out of stock, you're going to have everything you need. The tree went up in November. Christmas cards are sent out by the 1st of December. No matter what sort of approach you take to Christmas, how Christmas sort of plays out in your life, in your family, it is possible to use your time to be ready for Christmas, but not ready for Jesus. And that's a crazy thing to do. Because at risk of stating the obvious, Christmas is actually about Jesus. Now tonight, I can't offer you much help. I won't claim to offer you much help on how to use your time to prepare for Christmas. You do you. How you do your presents, how you do your tree, when you order your food, whatever. But I'm hoping that I can help us to see in God's word that common sense at Christmas means using our time to be ready for Jesus. Common sense at Christmas means using our time to be ready for Jesus. And there's 2 points I want us to look at, and we'll see in this short passage from Titus. The first is that Christmas points us back to the first appearing of Jesus. And the second is that Christmas reminds us that there will be a second appearing. Those two things, two appearings. And Christmas points us back to look at the first one, and it reminds us that there will be a second one. Let's look at our first point. Christmas points us back to the first appearing of Jesus. If you've got that passage open, let me open mine here. Give you a hint. This is for free. So there's nothing to do with the sermon. But I use my Crossroad 2030 vision brochure for this year as my bookmark in my Bible. It's very handy as a bookmark and for knowing what we're doing as a church. So here we go. Titus, have a look at verse 11. And look at verse 11. Christmas points us back to the first appearing of Jesus. Paul writes in his letter to a dude called Titus who is in Crete. He's getting Titus to sort of set up the churches there. There's Christians there. And he's giving him some instructions. And he says this, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." What a great summary of the Christmas story. What a great summary of Christmas. The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. The grace of God has appeared. That's what happened on that very first Christmas. God humbled himself and was born as a baby into our broken world. The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Why? Why did he come in? To save. To offer salvation. From what? What did God, why did Jesus appear? What has he come to save us from? From what? From the brokenness of the world. From wickedness, Paul will say later. But also from the judgment that we all deserve for our contribution to the brokenness and the wickedness of the world. The appearing of Jesus as a baby wasn't simply that he might live, that God might come and live, but that he might come and die. And in his death, offer us salvation. By redeeming us, verse 14, have a look there, by redeeming us from wickedness and making us his own. You see, the Christmas story is caught up with the Easter story. Yeah, it's like two for the price of one sermon here. I'm going to give you a bit of Christmas and a bit of Easter. Yeah? The Christmas story is caught up with the Easter story. The manger and the cross are connected. Bethlehem and Golgotha, the place where Jesus died, are connected. The star and the empty tomb, they're connected. At Christmas, we celebrate and are pointed back to the reality that the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. The grace of God, it's grace. This is what a wonderful description of Jesus. The grace of God. That's what Paul calls Jesus a couple of things throughout here. And the grace of God. That's Jesus who appeared. It's grace because it's undeserved. The grace of God has appeared. The undeserved kindness of God has appeared to offer salvation to all people. That is what we're pointed back to at Christmas. When we think about Christmas, we think about God appearing, the grace of God appearing to offer salvation to all people, but we're also reminded that it's not the end. If that's all you looked at, it wouldn't quite fit. It's not the end. Christmas should remind us that there will be a second appearing. This is what Paul says here. Have a look at verse 13. What a terrible point in my Bible. These verses are just right at the end of one page and the beginning of the next. And halfway through. Here we go. I can't even find it now. Here we go. Verse 13. Paul talks, so he says, "The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people," and he talks about how they might live as they wait, verse 13, "while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and purify for himself a people that are his very own." Jesus is coming back. That's the point. Jesus is coming back. In the same way that God broke into creation some 2,000 years ago on that first Christmas, Jesus will break in again. Though not as a baby, but coming from heaven. And unlike that first Christmas, when all but a few people actually acknowledged what was going on in that first appearing, at this second appearing, everyone will know what's happening. Everyone will know. Every knee will bow, the Bible says. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It won't be sort of undercover boss, sort of baby situation that you have at Christmas, right? When Jesus comes back, the second appearing, everyone will know. Because the present age that we live in, coming to an end. Jesus is coming back. But there is a similarity between the two, between the first appearing and the second appearing of Jesus. You see, God's people had waited for a long time for their promised Saviour, for the Messiah. And they'd waited and been promised, been talked about. It will happen. God's Messiah will come. The Old Testament, the prophets are speaking, it's going to happen. But nobody knew when. And when Jesus was born, it was a surprise. So too in his second coming, when Jesus comes back, we don't know when it's going to happen. It will be a surprise. In 1986, the Top Gun movie was released. Sort of Shakespearean story. No. It's a story. Hand up if you've seen Top Gun. So I can get a vibe. All right, I won't tell you the whole story, but it's a story about a guy called Maverick and his mate Goose and their time in Top Gun, which is the naval fighter weapons school. And it was on cinema in 1986. It was on cinemas everywhere. It was a massive movie. It was a huge success. It was celebrated for many years. As people say, oh, it's one of my favourite movies. You ask people, oh, what was your favourite movie for years and years and years? People say, oh, this is one. But how's this, right? It made millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars at the box office. It was a huge success. But a year passed after it was released and there was no sequel. 5 years passed, no sequel. 10 years, no sequel. 20 years, no sequel. 30 years, no sequel. Until finally, on the 27th of May 2022, 36 years later, Top Gun Maverick was released, the sequel. The long-awaited sequel. The sequel that people thought it wasn't even going to happen. Someone said, oh, maybe there'd be a movie. They talked about there being a sequel for it for years, but nothing ever sort of happened. I heard a lot of people like, it's never going to happen. There'll never be a sequel to Top Gun. Tom Cruise is about 700 years old. It's not going to... Crossroads, we live between the original and the sequel of Jesus' appearings. I even made a little graphic for you. 36 years from one Top Gun to the next. Nearly as old as me. 36 years. Here's another aside. I was looking for a graphic image, right, of Jesus' return. That's, if you want to spend a bit of fun time, search cartoon Jesus Second Coming and put it into Google. So then I just thought, I'll go for the one that looks least like what I imagine it will look like. Sort of floating down. He has a halo I tried to crop out. Anyway, you get the point, right? From the first appearing of Jesus to the second appearing of Jesus when he comes back, we don't know when it's going to be. But we live in there, in between the original and the sequel. That is the present age that Paul's talking about at the end of verse 12. See there? In this present age. That's what he means. Living between the first appearing and the second appearing of Jesus. And we don't know when it's going to happen. So we should use our time to be ready for it. Because we don't know when it's coming. But how? What does it look like? How can you be ready for Jesus' return? How can we be ready for Jesus' return? Well, that's what I want to finish as we spend a bit of time thinking about this. That we would this Christmas be ready for Jesus. How can we be ready for his return? Well, here's the good news. The good news is that it's easier to be ready for Jesus' return than it is to be ready for a perfect Christmas. Yeah? It's easier to be ready for Jesus. That might sound counterintuitive to you, but it's true. It's easier to be ready for Jesus' return than it is to be ready for a perfect Christmas because the work has already been done. Look in your Bibles in Titus, in the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 4. Paul says, but when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. You see that? Let me say it again. Verse 4, but when the kindness and love of God, that's another great description of how Paul names Jesus there, right? When the kindness and love of God, our Saviour appeared, that's Jesus, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Being ready for Jesus isn't about you and your effort. It's about Jesus. The grace and kindness and the love of God. If you're not a Christian, you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, you're here with us online, you're here with us today, you're checking things out, wondering about Jesus, the offer from Jesus to you this Christmas is, come and experience my grace. Come and enjoy my kindness. Come and rest in my love. Not come and do stuff for me. Not come and be good enough for me. Not change your life and then I'll accept you. It's come and enjoy the grace that I have won for you. Jesus has done everything, everything in his life and his death and his resurrection to offer you salvation. So that when he returns, you might be ready. Will you accept that offer? Will you trust Jesus on that? That's what being a Christian is. Being a Christian is trusting Jesus on that truth, that he has done everything, that in his life, his death, his resurrection, he can offer you salvation. Trusting him. That's what faith is, trust. To have a faith, to be a Christian, is to trust Jesus. What if you are a Christian? What does being ready for Jesus mean? Well, it's certainly not less than trusting in Jesus for salvation. It doesn't mean, you know, say, oh, if you're a Christian now, you've got to do a bunch of stuff. Look what Paul says. Like I said, the Christians in Crete and Titus in Crete back some couple of thousand years ago, they're in the same situation as us. Remember? Between the original and the sequel. That's the present age. Look how Paul calls them to use their time, to live their lives in light of what Jesus has done for them. Note that. One of the things that is so easy for us to do as Christians is to think when we read in the Bible and we're called to live a certain way, that what God is saying is, live this way and then I'll forgive you. But the logic is really clear. Paul says, verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Remember, Jesus has come and done everything. Holding, like what we were saying before, that when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us not because of the righteous things we've done. Hold all that intention, right? Don't slip into thinking now I've got to do stuff in order to earn my salvation. Verse 12, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. How do you live between the original and the sequel? My summary is, you live for Jesus while you wait. Live for Jesus while you wait. Say no to the things of the world and say yes to Jesus. That's the summary. There's all sorts of stuff we could pull out there, but I think that's the summary. He has done everything to prepare you for his return, so trust him and live for him and wait for that blessed hope of his return, when all the things that are wrong with the world will be put right as we enter into that new age. And as I said before, it's possible to use your time to be ready for Christmas, but not ready for Jesus. What a tragedy that would be. To not be ready for Jesus. To be fully prepared for Christmas, but for Jesus to return before that happens. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. Because how is it? How is it for me to think, I've got all this stuff to do for Christmas. Get all the presents, do all the stuff, get all the food, who's coming around, how's this happening? We could spend so much of our time focused on that, and we might not even get to it. Jesus might come back before we get to this Christmas. The last Christmas of history might already have happened. What a tragedy it would be to be fully prepared for Christmas, but not ready for Jesus. Common sense in this silly season says, make sure you're ready for Jesus. Not by doing a bunch of stuff, but by trusting him. And common sense says, live your life for him. Whether you're a Christmas snuck up on me again person, or you're a Christmas is a finely tuned machine person, either way, if you're ready for Jesus by putting your trust in him, you'll be fine. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we pray in this wonderful season of life, the lead up to Christmas, with all of the joy of spending time with friends and family, all of the joy of being together as a church family, all of the joy of reflecting on that first Christmas, Lord, we pray you would help us to be ready for that second appearing of Jesus. Lord, we pray you would help us to trust in you, to hold firm to that trust, to live our lives for you. And Lord, we thank you that you have blessed us with so much. We pray we might really enjoy this season, but being aware that you might come back any time. We pray we would live in light of that. In Jesus' name, amen.